Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, let's get our Bibles out. We're going to get straight into the Word this morning. We're going to preach the Word. The Bible talks about we've got to preach the Word in season and out of season. Even when it feels good, you preach. When it doesn't feel good, you preach the Word. Hallelujah. Just like, you know, even when you don't feel like it, you eat. You know, because if you don't eat, you're going to go hungry. Hallelujah. Now, as highlighted on our Vision Sunday, those of you who were here, this year we are running with a theme titled Kingdom Builders, where we are positioning ourselves to build God's kingdom. Hallelujah. We are talking about and living out the theme, Kingdom Builders. And the Lord is looking at you to use you. He's looking for somebody ready and prepared to be used in His field. Now, whilst you are seated, I want you to ask yourself these following questions. In 2026, what are you going to shape and what are you going to build in your life? What are you going to shape and what are you going to build? I know that January is coming to an end. It has come to an end. Today is the 1st of February. And I'm sure you had things written down. And I want you to remind yourself of what you wrote down for 2026. How many of us had some New Year's resolution? If you can just lift your hands. Okay? A number of us had New Year's resolutions. But if you did not have, you can still plan for 2026. You can still ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do? Okay? What do you want me to do in this season? That's the first question. The second question is, what impact do you want to have in God's kingdom? So the first question centers around you. What are you going to build this year? Are you going to paint your house? Are you going to, somebody's lifted their hands, praise the Lord, hallelujah. May the Lord give you enough money to paint your house. Are you going to put on a Jura wall in front of your house this year? Are you going to start saving up to buy a property for your home, for your family? I don't know, but you've got to dream. The Lord has called us to dream with Him, hallelujah. You've got to dream, because if you can't dream, many things will never happen. It starts with a vision. It starts with a dream. And I want to challenge you today. Dream big. You know, when they talk about aim for the moon. Because if you miss the moon, you might hit some of the stars around the moon. So don't aim for the small things. Aim for the big things. Because there will be a challenge on you. There will be a pressure on your prayer life. There will be pressure on your finances. Because you're dreaming big. But we move on from there and we say, what are you dreaming about God's kingdom? What consumes you in your heart about the things of God? And therefore, what impact do you want to have in God's kingdom? It is so important that we are not too focused on ourselves, but we have a balanced life where we build our own houses, but we also build the house of God. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 6 that seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Whenever God calls you to build something, it is because He wants to build you. It is because He wants to do something in you and through you. So to assist us in answering these questions, last week we embarked on a series titled Building for Eternity Impact. We started talking about building for eternity impact. In other words, we want to build things that will impact eternity. Now, at the heart of this series is the thesis that says, you and I have been called to build, have been called to shape and to propagate an institution called the church. And the church has eternal implications. The church has eternal implications. And last week, the Lord enlightened us on what the church is. He challenged us to have a correct view of what church is. Because most of us here, we are what we are because of church. You might have been hurt by church, but you've been loved by church as well. It's like a bittersweet kind of relationship you have with church. And I pray that the Lord would heal you so that you're able to experience the best that God has through the church for you. Hallelujah. So last week, God was saying to us, have a renewed mindset regarding my bride. Have a renewed mindset regarding my bride. Now this morning, we want to build on. So last week, it was about rediscovering the church, where we are saying, let's get to understand what the church is all about. Now, as we are going this morning, let me just say, tell you something about myself that some of you might not know, or some of you might know. But when I'm not pastoring, I'm involved in the construction industry. So I kind of bivocational. So I'm involved in the building, in the built environment. That is what I do on the other days of the week. And for the past 22 years, I've been involved in major infrastructure development in this country. I've done high-rise buildings, I've done bridges, I've done power stations, I've done dams. It has been an awesome journey. And here in Gauteng, one of my highlight jobs that I got involved with are two major jobs in Sandton that you drive around and you see. And one of them is the Leonardo. How many of us know the Leonardo Towers in Sandton? Okay, can I please have those pictures? That is a tower in Sandton. The Leonardo is 55 stories high, 234 meters tall, making it the tallest building in South Africa and one of the tallest buildings in Africa. It's a major structure, costed over 2.3 billion rands to build. And one of the companies that was involved in that job, because of that job, it got liquidated. Okay, I won't say the name of the company, but you can go read by yourself. But that job literally sunk that business. So it's one of the jobs I got an opportunity to be involved with. And the second job I was involved with in Sandton is the Sasol headquarters. That's a massive spaceship. It's a massive building. That Sasol headquarters has got 10 office floors. That's what you see on the surface. But what you don't know is that from the surface, we go down 7 levels of parking bay. 7 levels of parking, making it one of the biggest parking areas, 100,000 square meters of parking under that building. Now, why am I saying this? One of the most common things among all of these structures, and typically these ones that when you look at it, you're like, wow, amazing, is the amount of work that is required to go under those buildings as foundations. For a long time, we were under that building and nobody knew what was going on. Why? We were going down. And I want you to understand that the higher you want to go, the deeper your foundations got to be. We spoke about having dreams in your life and dreaming big with God. And I want you to know that the bigger your dream, the deeper the foundation got to be. It's okay to dream big, but you've got to be prepared to have the right foundation. We have seen many people that have built big without the right foundation, and over time, everything they built collapsed. The Leonardo is supported by a foundation consisting of 5 basements. And that's about 25 meters of foundation for us to go up 55 stories. Now, I want you to realize that the issue of foundations is so key to you. From time to time, you've got to inspect the foundations. Because if you neglect the foundations, you continue building thinking that everything is still strong. But many people neglect the foundations and they keep on building. When our church starts growing and God starts bringing nations to our church, it's important that we always go back to the foundation. We always go back and look at where we've been built. Now, not only are foundations strong, but foundations take long to build, and it's a messy job. When you do foundations, there's nothing, it's not clean, it's mud, it's rocks, it's dusty. It's a mess, but we keep on doing it. We keep on building. Why? We know if we are lazy with the foundations, it doesn't matter how strong you are building up, it's all for nothing. So I'm saying to you this morning, don't be lazy with the foundations. Don't cut corners with the foundations. Ensure that your foundation is strong enough so that whatever you're going to build, it will stay. Glory be to God. Now, this morning I want to talk to you on a subject titled, Built Upon a Confession. I want to talk about built upon a confession. Listen, you need to know that what you confess and agree to becomes the foundation upon which your life is built. Let me repeat that. What you confess, what you say, what you agree to becomes the foundation upon which your life is built. Now, that word to confess in Greek is homologio. Homologio. I'm not Greek speaking, so if I butcher this, please forgive me. Homologio in Greek, which means to say the same thing as, which means to agree with, to say the same thing as. That is what confession is. It implies that you agree with a professed truth or you agree with a professed lie. You are in agreement with something and you live by it. And I want you to understand that what you confess more often than not reveals your conviction. Are you convinced? Are you convicted about this matter? If you are, therefore you confess. Apostle Paul says, this we have believed, and therefore we confess. So whatever you confess is an indication of the foundation upon which your life is built. So when you confess and agree with negative thoughts, your life becomes shaky and unstable. When you confess and you agree with rejection in your life, anybody who ignores you, you feel like you're being rejected. It is so important that you are careful in what you agree with or you agree to. Because that will shape your life. So when you look at an individual and you see how stable they are, they must be confessing something that is so powerful, that give them confidence about tomorrow. Built upon a confession. So what you agree with is so important. Because what you agree with, it will accompany you. That's why the Bible says in the book of Amos, how can two walk together unless they agree? Come on now. Am I talking to somebody this morning? There's power in agreement. That is why we need to be careful the type of covenants and agreements that we get into. Your alliances will determine your tomorrow. The people I agree with in business will determine the longevity of my business. So important. Your life has to be built upon a confession. Many people confess that my family comes from a background where there are divorces all the way, and therefore I'm part of it. Some people have agreed with what they have seen going on with their fathers and their uncles and their aunts. And because you are in agreement with that, you know that is your fate. But your life must be built on a different confession. If everybody is saying it is so tough, it's hectic, it's rough, it's difficult, you agree with that, your life is going to be that. Your life is going to be difficult. It's going to be hectic. Yes, it's hectic. Some of these lingo, we don't think about them. But the more we confess, the more they become reinforced in our lives. Many of you who are married, you go to work, you realize that a lot of people speak down upon their wives. They complain about their wives, how nagging they are, how difficult their wives are. You agree with that, you're going to see that in your wife. One thing I've decided, and that is what I live for, in my workplace, I sing praises about my wife. Everybody knows that I'm married to an awesome woman. I might have fought with her in the morning, but she's awesome in the eyes of people. Come on now. Yes. That's what I want to build. I tell them, this is the wisest woman I can ever find. Praise the Lord. That's my confession. Well, now you must choose what's going to be your confession. We're going to get it retrenched. We need to make a plan. We're going to get retrenched. We need to make a plan. Yes, you're going to get retrenched. The Bible says, let it be done unto you according to your confession, according to your faith, built upon a confession. Now, last week, we looked at a conversation that Jesus had with his disciples in Matthew 16. This is a powerful and a beautiful portion of scriptures, where Jesus was having an intimate conversation with his disciples. And he asked them, who do people say I, the Son of Man, is? And the disciples gave them answers. They say, on Facebook, they are saying this is who you are. In Instagram, they are saying this is who you are. In fact, TikTok is saying so much about you. And then he said to them, but who do you say I am? You see, Jesus is not bothered by what TikTok says about him. He is bothered by what you say about him. Come on now. Because TikTok can say a lot of things about Jesus, but if you don't say good things about Jesus, it's not going to work for you. So Peter answered in Matthew 16, verse 16. The Bible says, and Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ. Come on now, built upon a confession. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, you are blessed, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. Listen to me, Bazalwani. Some confessions need revelation from the Father. There are things that you will never confess unless by revelation of the Spirit of God you are able to say, in this I believe. By the revelation in the Spirit of Jesus, you are able to believe that He will come through for me. Because unless the Holy Spirit impresses the Word of God upon your spirit man, you can read the Word, but it will not change you. And the Lord Jesus said, neither flesh nor blood has revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven has done this. Oh, how much we need the Father in heaven to reveal to us His mind for the season. To reveal to us His thoughts for the moment. Because so many times we are taken up by our own thoughts and by our own ideas because we lack a revelation of the thoughts of God. The Bible says in Isaiah 55, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts.
But the Apostle Paul comes back and says to us, but these things have been revealed to us by his Spirit. So Jesus steps back and says, Peter, this is just too deep. It cannot be from you. I've lived with you long enough. This is not from you. This is from my Father. Neither flesh nor blood has revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hallelujah. Now, as Jesus marveled at Peter's answer, he told his disciples that the church was of such great importance that he was both its founder and its foundation. He is the rock upon the church is built, and he is the builder. And it's so important for you to see the value of his bride. Where he says, I cannot trust anyone else to help me or to be entrusted to be the pioneer of this work. I will do it myself. So people of God, Jesus is the foundation upon which you are built. And this morning, let's check in a little bit. Are you built upon Jesus? Are you built upon Jesus? Or you're built upon principles that are taught by Oprah Winfrey? See, I'm dating myself. Back in the days, Oprah used to tell us all sorts of things. You win, you win, you win, you get it, you get it, you get it, you too. Everybody would watch Oprah's shows and they would quote Oprah's views. I don't have a problem with her. But the question this morning is, are you built upon Jesus, the foundation? Are you built upon the rock that is Jesus Christ? The church is built upon something that endures storms. That is why the church has been there since Jesus instituted it. They tried to destroy the church. The Roman Empire tried to destroy the church, but the church has stood the test of time. Whether you like it or not, the church is not overcome by anything that we can face here. That is the church, and that is you. When we talk about the church, we're not talking about these walls. We are talking about flesh and bones. We are talking about you. He says, upon this rock, I will build my church. The church is built upon something that does not deteriorate over time. When you've got a house, you know that weather elements will hit on the house and the color. That's why somebody wants to repaint their house. It is because the paint is peeling off. That's what happens to things that don't last. But that doesn't happen with the church. The church endures through storms. You'll endure through pain. You need to know you're stronger than you think. Hallelujah. We are stronger than we think, not because of who we are, but because of the rock upon which we stand. So Jesus knew that storms will come against his church. That is why he stood one day and he looked at the temple. And he spoke figuratively speaking and he said, destroy this temple. And after 3 days, I will rebuild it. To those who were hearing, they thought he was talking about the physical temple. And yet he was talking about his body. Where he said, destroy this body. You can do whatever you want with this body, but I'm coming back. After 3 days, I'm rising from the dead. Glory be to God. I want you to know that the church might look like it is dead, but the church understands the resurrection power of Jesus. That is who you are. But upon what confession are you standing? The church is built upon a rock that is higher than the world standard. That is why the church can never build on the same level as the world builds. The world will build in a certain pattern. The church cannot be built on the same pattern as the world. When people come to church, they must feel that this is different. Come on now. When people are abused in the world, when people are molested in the world, when people are rejected in the world, when they come to church, they must see a different pattern. They must find church as a place of safety. David writes in Psalm 62, verse 1, he says, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. When my heart is overwhelmed, when I am under pressure, Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me to the rock called Jesus. How many times in your moments of difficulties have you remembered that? Lead me to the rock. Lead me to the rock. Lord, I want to come up to you. I want to come up to you for help. For my help comes from you. I lift my eyes to the hills. From where comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Glory be to God. That must be the outcry of the church. The rock Jesus is both wide, deep, and high enough to preserve you from the floods of life. Glory be to God. I want to stir up your faith this morning to be built upon a confession that the rock upon which I stand, I'm able to remain there because help is coming. Glory be to God. Anyone who goes to that rock will find an answer. That's the promise. Now, some say the rock that Jesus referred to was Peter. They thought, well, that's how people read it. Some commentaries even say that the rock being referred to here was Peter. But listen, yes, Peter was a strong man. And Jesus gave him the name Peter. All right? But give me the next slide. I want to show you something very profound. There was a word play that Jesus was using. When Jesus spoke to Peter, he said, I also say to you that you are Peter. If you go into the Greek, that Peter word is Petros, which means small rock, which means a pebble, all right? A stone. So he says here, I say to you, you are Peter, Petros, pebble. And then he shifts and says, on this rock, when you look at that Greek word of rock, is Petra, which means massive. A rock bed, a massive rock. There's a clear distinction. We acknowledge Brother Peter. His character was a man who was without fear. I want you to understand that Peter was a solid man. He was a disciple of substance. Though he wobbled a little bit when he denied Christ, but by and large, Peter was one of the pillars in the early church. Peter was used in a mighty way by Jesus to establish his church. Glory be to God. So when Jesus was saying to him that you are Peter, he was almost saying, Peter, I'm going to use you in a powerful way. Because further down, he says to him, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. In other words, whatever institutions you put in place and mechanisms, heaven will be in agreement. But let me say this to you. Yes, Peter was a rock, a pebble. But it is stretching it too far to call a man who only laid part of the foundation to become the entire foundation. We acknowledge Brother Peter, but Peter cannot be the foundation upon the church that you are built. And listen to me, if your life is built upon Peter, you have a problem. You have a problem because your Peter died and he did not rise from the dead. Because if Peter was the rock that Christ was going to build his church upon, he must be the one we're able to talk to right now. But Peter is nowhere to be found. But the rock upon the church is built is alive. Glory be to God. The Bible tells us that he overcame the grave and he came back to life. That's the rock upon which we are built. And let me tell you something. There is no man who can take the place of Christ as the foundation, no matter how charismatic they are. We can give them names. We can call them major, major, major. But there is no major who can be built upon. There is only one major in heaven, the great I am, the mighty warrior, the soon coming back king. Glory be to God. We must look forward to his coming back. Let's not worship pastors because of charisma. Let's not worship prophets because of their power gifts. Let's not worship bishops because of how powerful their voices are. No, I want you to understand this morning that there is a rock upon which we stand, a rock that cannot be shaken, and that is Jesus. Now, Scripture indicates very clearly that Jesus is that great foundation. Petra, the massive rock, the bedrock. Again, let's check in this morning. Are you founded on Jesus? Are you founded on, is your faith upon Jesus? Because I can tell you now, there are people who are very good at creating dependence syndromes, where they want you to depend on them for their breakthrough. They want you to depend on them for prayer. They want you to depend on them for deliverance. But I want you to understand, when those men fall down, what are you going to do? I'm not saying they are going to fall. But the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he despised the shame of the cross. Look to Jesus. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 11, the Bible says, for no one can lay a foundation other than the one already laid. For nobody can lay a foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. We've got to elevate Jesus above our problems. Amen. Let's not allow pain to remove the picture of Jesus from our spirit man. Let us be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who came to a place where they were saying, even if God does not deliver us, we will not bow down to your image. I want you to know that your life can be so much in trouble that you can idolize your pain, you idolize your poverty, you idolize rejection, that you bow down to it. Shadrach said, King, let us tell you that even if our God does not deliver us, we will not bow down. That's how strong our God is. Even in death, we will worship him. Even in pain, we will worship him. Isaiah 28, verse 16. So this is what the Lord says. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone. Has your Peter been tested and found worthy of the title of Petra? Petra, it is a big rock. The Bible tells us that let the same attitude that was upon Christ be upon you, who in the same as God did not find it as something to fight for, but disrobed himself of heavenly glory, came down and born of a woman, and died the death of a cross. Philippians chapter 2. That is the rock that we talk about. He was tested. When the Father said, go, Jesus was said, it's okay. It is only for a moment that my glory will be put aside, but I will come back. Hallelujah. When he came down, he was not born in fire and ice down the road here, Protea Hotel. No, he was born in a manger. Fire and ice had no space for this God. Come on now. Fire and ice had no space. They say, we are fully booked. And they went down to Irene Farm. Come on now. They went down to Irene Farm, and there, in the middle of the cow dung, the king was born. Come on now. My king is no longer amongst cow dungs. He's seated on the right hand side of the Father, praying for me, interceding for you, so that you know that you are victorious. The Bible says, a rock that was tested, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, the one who believes will never be shaken. That's the rock. That's my Jesus. That's the one who overcame for me. Hallelujah. Take away everything, but don't take away the rock from me. Acts 4 verse 11, this Jesus is a stone that was rejected by you, the builders. The year of kingdom builders. As we build, let's be careful of that. Jesus is a stone that was rejected by you builders.
Jesus is a stone that was rejected by the builders in God Church. God forbid that will be written one day in the annals of history that that church rejected the stone. They wanted to build upon their own revelation. The Bible tells us this is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. Whew. Let's not reject Christ. Let's not be too smart for ourselves. We cannot build unless it's delegated. So it therefore goes without saying that Jesus was referring to himself. It's as if he said, I say to you, Peter, I will build my church upon this rock. I will build the church. I think the same way he stood before these Pharisees and says, destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll rebuild it. I think he was also saying, upon this rock I will build my church. Glory be to God. And that is where the church finds its security and safety. Now, what was he referring to as the point of contact when he mentioned this rock? What was Jesus referring to? It was after Peter had made the important earth-shattering confession in verse 16. Let's read it again. And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, you are blessed, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal it to you, but my Father in heaven. Listen to me. This is the great confession that holds the church together. The confession that says, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. This is the confession of truth and of life, and it will hold you together. I want you to understand, when you take away that confession, you take away the foundation. We said the Leonardo was built on a 25-meter foundation. You take away those 25 meters, you don't have a Leonardo. You don't have a 55-story building. Many things will fall apart when we remove that confession. Glory be to God. And do you know that people are okay as long as we just talk about God? But the moment we say, do you know Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, something jumps up. Nobody likes the foundation. That's why Peter says, this is the stone that was rejected by you builders. Everybody is okay talking about God. The reason why they are okay with us talking just about God, it is because there are many gods out there. There are many gods, but I can tell you now, there's just one who is called Jesus Christ. So the moment you bring Jesus Christ, there's a distinction between the God of Muhammad and the God of Jesus Christ. I don't know if you're getting me this morning. Let's not leave Jesus outside of our conversation, because at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow down and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. People go to ancestors, they call them God. People worship Hare Krishna, they call him God. Confucius. They call him God. But the moment we speak about Jesus Christ, he is distinct all by himself. Glory be to God. There is nobody who can be compared to Jesus. So when you take away that confession, you take away the foundation that keeps things together. Any church, any family, any nation that removes that confession ceases from being part of the church. I want to challenge you this morning. Let us move away from syncretism, where we have multiple gods in our lives because of convenience. When we are among those who worship the dead, we agree with them because we don't want to upset the apple cart. When we are among those who worship Muhammad, we are okay with that because we don't want to lose businesses. When we are among those who worship Shembe, we say it's okay. No, let's not practice syncretism. There's only one way to God. The Bible says there's one way to him, and that name is Jesus. Let me say this again. Any church, any family,
And any nation that removes that confession ceases from being part of the church. And Christ has nothing to do with it. He says, upon this confession, I will build my church. Upon this confession, I will build my church. Glory be to God. Put this down. If Christ is not the Son of God, Christianity is false. Our preaching is vain. Your faith is vain. And you are yet in your sins. Remove that confession. Everything that we do is play-doh. Mahumbre. In my language, what do we call it? When kids play house. Matron-tron. Yeah, something like that. Whatever it is, we play house. Take that confession away. Hallelujah. Christianity is false. Our preaching is vain. Your faith is vain. And you are yet in your sins. And we are the most pitied of people. So the absence of that confession in your life makes you ordinary and exposes you to the enemy, big time. When you look at that title, Christ, it comes from the Greek word Christos, which means the anointed one or the chosen one. So when you confess that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, you are saying you are the anointed one, you are the chosen one. It was that title which meant that the coming of Christ, he was both the ruler and the savior of humanity. The power of a confession. When you talk about to be anointed, we are talking about being empowered to execute supernatural acts. And in the book of Luke chapter 4, the Bible says he took the Bible, the scroll, and he opened in the book of Isaiah. And he read out to them and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. And he says, today, this word is being fulfilled in your hearing. The anointed one, the anointed one. So when you confess Jesus as the Christ, you are making room for the open display of his power and anointing. So I want to challenge you today as a family. No matter how tough it is, don't lose your confession. Retain your confession in every season of your life. As mom and dad, when your children are not doing well, don't lose your confession. Retain your confession. It says, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. One. The Bible says, and the anointing shall break the yoke from your shoulders. When we confess, something's got to move. When we confess Christ, demons must move. Listen to me. The devil wants to silence you. He wants to stop you from confessing, and somebody here needs to regain their voice in the spirit. In your prayer life, retain the confession of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. If the devil cannot stop you from confessing, he will try by all means to change your confession so that your confession is aligned by his character. You start confessing negativity over your life, over your children. Don't be silenced. Don't change your confession. Listen, when you confess that he is the Son of the living God, you are declaring his deity. And that means that he rules over all of life, over every situation in your life. Put this down. When you confess his divinity, you are agreeing that everything that resides in God is found in an equal measure in Jesus. That's deity. So we don't confess Jesus in a carnal way or in a swearing way. And you need to start thinking when you say Jesus, how are you saying it? Are you saying it as a profanity or you're saying it as a revelatory statement? Where you say Jesus, Son of the living God. When you say that, where are you standing? Don't lose your confession. Go to church,
Don't lose your confession. Things are going to change at our confession. That is why the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, believe with your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you will be saved. Glory be to God. When you're facing sickness in your family, believe with your heart, confess with your mouth, and you'll be healed. When you face poverty in your life, believe with your heart, confess with your mouth, and you'll find money coming your way. Glory be to God. He says, the silver and the gold in this world is mine. So it is okay to expect silver and gold from God. Does somebody hear me this morning? Let's try and land this plane. Now, Jesus has a promise for those who keep their confession. And what is that promise? Verse 18, give me that scripture. I also say to you that you are Petros, Peter, the small rock. And on this rock, Petra, I will build my church. And then he says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The power of confession gives you access to something that goes beyond today. Let me mess up with your theology a little bit. Yes, we have victory over demons. We have victory over sickness. We have victory over poverty. But when Christ said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against you, what did he mean? I want you to understand that we've got to, sometimes we want scriptures to say what we want. Not necessarily what scripture is saying. Because we've been brought up in this mode where people have quoted scriptures and they have attached a meaning to it. So, it's okay if somebody will come and tell you, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Sickness and demons will not prevail against you, because the Bible says, gates of hell shall not prevail against you. It sounds nice, but is that the complete meaning of what Christ was saying? So when you say, demons will not prevail against us, you are saying, demons are advancing towards me, right? They are forcing themselves into my family. They are causing accidents in my family. They are causing poverty. They are pushing in. They are pushing in because we are saying they will not prevail against us. It sounds theologically okay. Until you start dissecting, when you speak of gates, who has ever seen gates moving from their location into the streets? Gates are not offensive instruments, but they are defensive instruments. So when Jesus says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against you, probably he's not talking about something that is offensive towards you. He's talking about something that is defending its territory. Now, this understanding will change. You can continue praying your favorite scripture. It's your favorite scripture because the gates of hell shall not prevail. And we go to town with it. And it's okay. God is very gracious. But it's important that we anchor this in what Jesus was talking about. The gates of hell shall not prevail against you. I want you to understand that it is the church that is on the offensive. We are not like lame ducks waiting to be taken out by the devil. No. The church is moving. Brother Itani Madima used to sing a song, the church is moving now. It's moving on, right? You know, you guys know Itani Madima. I used to listen to him back in the days. One of his songs, nothing is going to stop the church. The church is offensive, and you need to see yourself that way, and that will change the way you pray. When you are the one who feels like I have to defend myself, you are cautious. But when you know that I'm backed up by the rock, you are on the offense. You tell the devil to go. You tell the devil where to stop. Glory be to God. The church is moving on. Nothing's gonna stop here now. The church is on the move. Now, what did Jesus mean when he said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it? The phrase gates of hell is a Jewish expression meaning the realm of the dead. You'll find this in two scriptures, Job 38 verse 17 and Isaiah 38 verse 10. You can go read for yourself. When you read those two scriptures, you'll understand what Christ was talking about. He was talking about death, the realm of the dead in Hades, Gehenna. And he was saying that death will not overcome you. It will not prevail against you. The enemy wants you in the pits of hell. The enemy wants you to be condemned for life. The enemy wants you to be separated from God forever. But the Bible says he overcame death on the cross. He rose from the dead, and today he is alive. You don't have to fight for this thing. It is received. Eternal life is the promise for those who retain their confession. There is a place, yes, for us to bombard the devils and cast out demons. But when Christ says, the gates of hell shall not prevail, he is saying to you, yes, you will die, but you're not going to die. Come on now. You're going to die in the natural, but your spirit man has life because I overcame death. And because of that, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Put this down. Christ promises eternal life for those who keep and acknowledge his lordship in their hearts. That's why the Bible says, confess and you shall be saved. Death threatens all of us. What is the worst thing that can happen to you? It's death. But it's not the worst for those who are born again. It's not the worst for the church of Jesus Christ, because he rose from the dead. He made a way for us, glory be to God, for us to be with the Father for eternity. Death threatens all of us, but those who confess Jesus Christ know that death is not the end. The moment you know that death is not the end, you will fight your battles with expectation. You will fight your battles with vigor. You will know that even if I die doing this, as long as I keep my confession, the gates of hell shall not prevail against me. Eternal condemnation will not prevail against me, because I know in whom I have believed. Glory be to God. Pastor Luan, no matter what you are facing in life, you must remember that even if you suffer and die, the gates of hell will not prevail against you. You carry eternal life inside of you. And that is why when we preach the gospel, that is why the church must rise up and preach the gospel, because the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. I want you to know the devil wants people locked up in the pits of hell. The devil wants many people to go to hell, but it shall not prevail because Jesus overcame. Jesus said, it is finished on that cross. Ooh, does somebody hear me this morning? The gates of hell shall not prevail. What's your confession? Come on, now, let's stand on our feet this morning. What is your confession? Christ, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. On that confession, you have a promise for eternity. On that confession, you have victory. Because you are seated and you are anchored on the rock. That is why Isaiah says, remember the rock from which you were cut out. Pastor Luani, remember the rock. I want to challenge somebody today. Remember Christ in your life. Embrace him in a new way this year. When you embrace him as Lord, he comes and he starts telling you how to manage life. Because he is Lord. Not just my Savior. He is my Lord. Come on now, we need to retain our confession. Today, pray for yourself and say, Father, I retain my confession. Not just by my mouth, but by my heart. with my actions. Lord, I retain my confession. My confession that Jesus, you are the Christ. You are Christos, the anointed one, the chosen one, the savior and deliverer of my life. Jesus, you are my savior. I pray this morning that you would awaken us to this confession, oh God. That you would awaken us to this confession, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I pray this morning that by your Spirit, you reveal to us this confession. Lord, you said to Peter, neither flesh nor blood has revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Lord, we pray that you would reveal this to everyone in this church. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray that you reveal this to us. Father, reveal to us your word. Reveal to us the Rhema, the word for the moment, the word for every season. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you this morning. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on now, let's just clap our hands to the Lord this morning. Come on now, let's clap our hands to Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you are a rock. We thank you that you are a sure foundation, Lord. You are our Savior, Lord. Father, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's bow our eyes. Let's bow our heads. I want to give you an opportunity this morning. Maybe you had lost your confession. You want to recommit your life to Jesus. This is the moment. You want to do it publicly and say, Lord, I'm coming back to my confession today. In the name of Jesus, I'm acknowledging you, Lord, again.